I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Millwall Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, they have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. If you can help in any way, they are on Twitter, at Lions Food Hub. DM them. You can DM me at Achtung Millwall, and I'll pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub, at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to the last match show of Achtung Millwall for the season, for the 2021 season, strange season. Speaking with me this morning, I've got, for his sins, I don't know what sins you've committed, Steve, in a past life. I hope they were good. It's Mr. Steve Evans, new voice. Welcome, Steve.
Morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on, mate.
Now, obviously, everyone was we got slaughtered 6-1 yesterday. But before Steve and I begin our, what should we call it, our wake, we're going to run part of Gary Rowett's post-match conversation on the official website. This hasn't gone out on Twitter for some reason. I don't think there's anything more to that than just the poor sound quality. So apologies in advance, listeners, for the windy conditions at Birmingham yesterday. Let's run that now.
I don't want to take anything away from Coventry because they played some good football and got some good areas, but it just looked like we gave up. It looked like we didn't want to win. There was no real leadership out there. There was no real, you know, even at 3-1, sometimes you have to accept that you're not playing well and you have to make sure that your back four's solid and organised. You have to make sure the midfield don't lose their shape. You just play like it didn't really matter. And that was disappointing because, you know, again, we wanted to finish the season strongly. What I think I've got to do today is I don't want to go into the season full of remorse and regret and feeling like today shapes the way that the season's looked. And I think it's been a positive season. I think for 45 games, I've said it before, I think we've given everything we've got. Today, I think I'd like to isolate, which is not acceptable. And I apologise to anybody who's had to watch that because it was really, really poor. And the other thing is as well, for some players, it was their last game in the Millwall shirt. And, you know, that's, I said to the other players, you've had to let those players have the last game in a Millwall shirt like that. You shouldn't be ashamed of yourselves, really. So, but I think for the rest of the season, I think we've been, you know, we've made progress in different ways. It's been a difficult season to have none of our fans here. You know, to have different situations with COVID, to have the intensity of the games. I have to view the season as a whole, and I think it's been positive. I think we're building it next year. I'm very, very positive about the summer. I don't want to let this affect how I feel about it. You know, we'll make some good signings. We'll be a much stronger team next year. I think maybe for one or two players today, it might mean I have to be a little bit more ruthless because there were players out there that didn't make me think all next season could be different for them. It made me think maybe we've got to be a little bit stronger in terms of what we do over the summer. So you have to learn lessons as a manager. You don't want to learn it losing 6-1 because it's actually pretty humiliating on the sideline.
Achtung, Mehlball.
So there we have it. I don't know if you've heard that, Steve. It's not done the rounds on social media. And it was a pretty poor sound recording. But it was interesting to hear Gary Rowett speaking about that disgraceful performance yesterday.
I had a listen to it off the website last night. And it just sounds really embarrassed by it, doesn't it, really, to be honest?
I mean, we'll go into the shit show in a moment, but I was trying to find the right words. I've come up with disgraceful shambles. I mean, you run out of descriptions, really. I mean, you and I both watched it for a sense of duty to the listeners that are listening to this. So we hope you appreciate this, listeners. But it was it was a tough watch, mate, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the only positive I took from it was we had about a 10-15 minute spell in the first half.
Yeah.
Where we create a few chances, but they weren't really, I mean, other than the Bradshaw one that hit the post, there was nothing gilt-edged in there. And then from that, I mean, they scored almost bang on half-time to make it 2-0. I'd say even after we scored, we didn't really look like getting back into it. We switched off.
No. Didn't seem to believe in ourselves. We had two spells, and we might as well focus for the listeners who maybe overseas that listen to the show all around the world, that we had two spells where we didn't look too bad.
Yeah.
Momentarily. And that was in the first half. We were 1-0 down by this stage, Steve, after that first the time and space given to the Coventry for the opening goal just broke my heart. I mean, we just like have a free shot from the edge of the penalty area. I mean, the boy put it away well, but I mean, most professionals would expect to do so given that easy run into the edge of the
penalty. As you say, I mean, he had time to get it onto his right foot, onto his left foot. So, well, his preferred foot, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he took it.
Yeah, well, everyone just sort of stood off and went, yeah, go on, mate. If you want to have a go, then have a go. And it, obviously, it's gone in off. It went in off the post, didn't it?
He went in off the into the left in off the post. Yeah, number 24, whoever he is.
I think it was Shipley who got the first one. I mean, Rowett touched on the fact that we conceded 3 goals from set pieces, which obviously isn't like us. But I thought the worst one of the lot was it the fourth one where the keeper's just hammered it down the middle and everyone's all over the place. Simple ball like from the inside right channel into the box and mate's got a tap in.
It was appalling. I mean, we'll come on to the season as a whole because I think there's one of the things that Gary Rowett said in his piece, Steve, was that he wanted to contrast the season with that performance yesterday. And I think he has a point. I don't think you can entirely divorce the two for me, but we'll come back to that in a bit because the opening goal was on 15 minutes. That was preceded by two chances. I've noted them as chances. Broken forwards, breaking from midfield. I mean, he was talking about, Gary Rowett was talking about the poor defending from set pieces, and that was very true. But we were absent without leaving midfield yesterday. I mean, two good chances, and that before the goal, when that was an easy run for the shot, as we've said already.
I mean, I think that O'Hare, obviously, he was pretty good in the game at the Den as well.
We struggled there, didn't we?
The feeling I've got of social media from yesterday is we should try and sign him. I don't know whether we'd probably be able to even afford him, but both games we've had against him this year, he's tormented us, really.
We struggled against Coventry. And I was at 1-0 halfway through the first half. I mean, it was all Coventry, in all honesty, at that point. They had another shot just after the goal. We didn't look interested. And that was what was really digging me. But, I mean, we did struggle against Coventry at the Den, as we said. And I was trying to analyse why. Because, you know, Coventry are decisively below us in the table, Steve. They're not a side that you would say are challengers. Not maybe, I don't know about next season, but they look busy.
Yeah, but they've got plenty of, I think they've got a lot of young players, haven't they? So they've got plenty of legs. Hmm. It's like you say, when them first few chances when they was just running straight through the middle of us and we just like in midfield looked like we didn't give a shit, really.
Well, I mean, that's the game in a nutshell. And Coventry, I think they did have some pacey movement. But again, you have to try and balance how much of that was us giving it to them and how much they were taking it. There's a bit of both, I suppose. And our only little bit of decent play came around about the half-hour mark where we'd had a shot, I think Mason Bennett shot into the side netting, and then there was a really good, really nice move, and Bradshaw hit the post from a kind of a back heel, almost Johan Cruyff-style cheek, you know, back heel.
Yeah, it's a bit like the goal we scored against Leeds, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously that one didn't come. But then you'd say after that, that was pretty much it, other than the goal, which they sort of took pity on us and scored for us. But I'd say that Bradshaw one was probably the only thing of note where you'd say, yeah, well, that was a nice bit of play. But other than that, the rest of it was terrible.
Well, we hit the post, and it was unlucky. And then a couple of, I actually wrote the word pressure, mill pressure. And that stopped. As soon as I wrote that down, it stopped. A nice Jed run, and that was the end of what you might call pressure. And then I thought the killer goal actually was the one just before half time, because I mean we'd somehow had stumbled through the half and were still only at 1-0. And I thought, well, you know, hopefully a rocket at half time and come out fighting in a second. And that was a corner, I believe, wasn't it?
I think it was the bit where Bart played it out to Ryan Woods, and he ended up almost running all the way back to
that's
him.
Right, yeah.
And then, stuck it under his feet while he was basically standing on the goal line.
I thought he made like a Messi style run into the penalty area, and it was our own penalty area.
Yeah. And then I think, yeah, a couple of corners after that it was 2-0, yeah. And balls into the box, we're normally very good at. I said to someone yesterday, the fact that Hutchison weren't playing yesterday.
Yeah, it's a big loss, isn't he?
I think, like, especially when it comes to things like defending corners, he obviously is an organiser.
I mean, Jake was all at sea, I think, yesterday. I mean, he didn't look himself in the second half. He lost a couple of headers where you think, well, if Jake Cooper's losing a header, then...
Yeah, it's not.
You're either playing a giraffe or he's not with it, you know.
I think that's just the general thing with everyone. We know we weren't with it yesterday, but
no.
Obviously the minimum we ask for is that you turn up and you act like interested. You give a shit, and there was none of that yesterday.
No, so that was an easy poking for 2-0, and then a three-way substitution at half time, Steve. I wanted to get your take. I mean, we hadn't looked interested, and you know, I wasn't. I'm against three-way substitutions where you're chasing a game. We're 2-0 down, so you could argue we're chasing that fixture from there onwards. But as a replacement midfield, he's taken out Billy Mitch and Ryan Woods, and there may be reasons to criticise both yesterday. Bringing in Sean Williams, a great servant. We'll come back to
it. Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at that one now in isolation, he probably just wanted to give him 45 minutes.
With the captain's armband. Yeah, I think you're right. And Conor Mahoney came in. I mean, I'd rather think that we were conceding the game at half-time in many respects. I suppose, you know, you can't win as a football manager. If you make changes, you get criticised. If you don't make changes, you're going to get criticised. Change of formation to 4-3-3. The thing that struck me as odd, and I don't know if you picked this up from the TV commentary, Steve, is they said that Gary Rowett didn't go in the dressing room at half time.
Yeah, I was at half time, I disappeared outside for a fag and debating.
Contain your emotions.
But yeah, so I came back up, and they just said he hardly went in the dressing room, was what I heard. But yeah, strange. Like you say, it's a bit of a strange one. So he's laid it all on Adam Barrett to go and do the team talk, or?
Yeah, I mean, again, odd one. I mean, we certainly looked a little bit better when we came out for the second half. And again, this is the second brief flicker of the candle for anyone that didn't watch the match yesterday. We got, there's actually quite a nice move for the goal. Scott Malone going down the left, a good run, decent cross, and that caught the commentary defender just before Tom Bradshaw was going to put it into the net. So, I thought at that point, I allowed myself the brief...
I feel I did that. Well, yeah. Make that mistake.
And then it all went, down the Swanee River from there onwards. 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. And we just looked, that was inside, 8 minutes? We've gone three goals beyond.
Yeah, well, I think I've got us down. We scored on 53 and then by 66, it was 5-1. So,
yeah, defensive errors, awful defending for the fourth one. I think that was the one that you mentioned earlier on, Steve. Jake Beaton, easy chance given away. Shambles defending on 66. I mean, I would say an okay Coventry side. I mean, the league table doesn't lie, and they're still below us after yesterday's win. But we seem to be allowing them multiple men around the ball inside our own penalty area unchallenged. They're just like, it was like the proverbial easy run, wasn't it, yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think they touched on it in commentary. They were playing like they needed a winning goal for that little period. Even when it was 4-5-1, they still kept coming at us.
Yeah.
And we got lucky to a point. We was just scrambling balls away, making sure we didn't concede.
It probably should have been more. I mean,
there was no sort of defensive shape going on. It was just ball came into the box, right? Just throw something at it and try and get rid of it.
I mean, if we park the chances in the first half, Steve, and we've gone 5-1 down on 66 minutes, so that's when Tyler Bury's come in for Tom Bradshaw. And same point, I've written hungry. Coventry looked hungry for more goals. And Bart's doing well. Got a save on 70 minutes. Chance, 74, 75. You know, if one of those had gone in, 6-1 could have become 7 or 8-1. It could have been, you know, to talk of double figures, it would not have been outrageous based on what we saw yesterday.
Especially after 66. I mean, what was it? I think they got 3 in about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, like I say, they didn't really let up. They just kept coming forward, and you thought, oh, well, yeah, it could be 6, 7, or 8. But obviously, it was 6 in the end. But.
And we had a clearance off the line, 6-1 on 83 minutes. I got a clearance off the line on 86 from after Bart save. So, you know, we did well to get away from the St Andrews with a 6-1 hammering, which is, you know, when you say things like that in the cold light of day, you can say it sounds a bit overdramatic. He stronged it there, but I think that was a fair assessment of yesterday's shambles. And I mean, listening to Gary Rowett, Stephen, because there's a bigger point really here, and that's assess the season and then what do we learn from yesterday? And I think you can probably read quite a lot into the small details. It's what's that saying about characters, what you do when no one's watching you, isn't it?
The other one he said in the post-match was it made his mind up on certain people.
That intrigued me.
So obviously, he's played certain players yesterday with a thing of him like, right, go and prove yourself. And obviously, they haven't done that. But it'd be interesting to know who them players are.
I'd be interested to know that. Yeah.
I thought the majority of that team would probably be in and around next season.
Yeah, I would agree. And that was the conversation that intrigued me. Because, I mean, looking at the team, Bart Bielkowski and goals player of the season, he's going nowhere, and rightly so.
Yeah.
And then the back line, Jake Cooper. You know, he looked lost yesterday. And you can talk about no Hutch. And, you know, he's got Romeo on one side of him, George Evans on the other.
Yeah, I think Evans was fucking awful yesterday.
He was poor. I agree.
Probably one of the worst games I've seen him have for us so far, if not the worst.
I mean, Marlon gets a lot of flack, and you can I'm going to touch some of the reasons why that might be. But he looked out. He was out of position. He looked out of position yesterday. I know he's played central defence for his country. He's Antigua, I think, but that's a different level. Evans didn't look. For a few games now, I thought George Evans in defence is not an answer.
I mean, Rowett sort of alluded to he doesn't want to play him as a centre-half when obviously Pearce wasn't playing very well.
Yeah.
But like you say, from watching him play in these last few games, you can see why Rowett doesn't want to put him there, I think. He gives the ball away too much for someone who's playing in that position. I think if you do it in midfield, you've obviously got that line of defence behind her. If he's giving the ball away on the edge of his own 18-yard box all the time,
you're
just going to lead to chances for the opposition. So you just, I'd say don't try that experiment again if I'm going to allow it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Achtung, Mehlball.
One of the things, obviously, Gary Rowett in his post-match conversations said goals. Obviously, we've struggled for goals all season. There's no secret on that. But he was talking about strengthening other areas, and I'm wondering whether defence, because I did a print, and the reason I mentioned defence is that it's been so inconsistent, Steve, because on the one hand, you've got Spark Bielkowski, and I can't remember if it was 17 or 18 clean sheets for the season. I've totted up 18, but I think I might have included a cup game in that. So 17 league clean sheets. No mean achievement. That goes for the defence too.
Absolutely, yeah.
But then, over the season, inconsistency, 8 defeats where we've conceded 3+ goals, and that includes QPR as a 3-2 loss, which you could argue is not quite such a bad thing. But
yeah,
anyway. But
yeah, you've got the Huddersfield by my turn, the Siver.
Yeah.
Even the Coventry home guy. There'll be a game every now and again where you're like, well, it's out of character, but you're not even shocked when it happens to us.
You look at it, and then the last 6 games, I mean, we weren't really contenders for the playoffs. Let's be realistic. But we were 9th in Swansea at home prior to that. We're coming into
so
that.
So it was only a few weeks ago, weren't it?
10th of April, Steve. 10th of April. We got hammered 3-0, and I think we did get well beat by Swansea. And then a decent draw, strangely, at Brentford, given their status. But we've taken some hammerings, and we've had a few beatings over the course of the season, a few 3-0 losses. But the last 6 games where we had the faintest glimmer of something on the line, we've gone to pieces. I mean, if you take out that Bristol 4-1 win, which looks a little bit like, I don't know, you know, a special case almost. I mean, include yesterday's 6-1 stuffing. We've got 4-1 against Bournemouth. We played last 6. We've won 1, drawn 1, got beat 4 times, conceded 15 goals. That's the defence. So, you know.
Yeah. But obviously, I think Hutch has been missing for a few of those. Like I say, I touched on that earlier.
Yeah.
But it's the people loss. That step in, I think the people that step in have just, you've got to be doing better, basically. I think, obviously, when we lost to Bournemouth, a few people accused us of being on the beach in that game.
Yes, they did.
And then, obviously, people accused, but even Bart obviously came out and accused Bristol City of being on the beach, but obviously that bit him in the arse yesterday. But I think we sort of trumped the pair of them as if a pair of them performances just say that weren't on the beach. This is how you do it on the beach. And like I say, that second half in particular, at least in the first half, we had sort of a spell where we looked like we might do something, but then came out for the second half and fell to bits.
I mean, it's a cliche to say it. The league table does not lie, and we finished. No. I think it's 11th or 12th. I can't remember where we've finished, but anyway, we are mid-table, deservedly.
Yeah.
Deservedly an average side. Now, on one hand, you can say that's pretty good by Mill standards. Historically, to finish mid-table in the second tier is, you know, we haven't done that many times over the course of our history, going back to the formation of the club. So it's an achievement in that sense. And 2 top half finishes in the last 2 years. So we're now an established, hopefully we're an established championship side. Which is an achievement, and you know we've done it in a very strange season, Steve. This has been nothing.
Yeah, so I've called it an anomaly yesterday.
I think it's a good description. There's nothing like it ever, even including wartime in some ways. I suppose it's about as close as you're going to get, but then very different circumstances and different times. As far as next season's concerned, Rowett went to some lengths in that interview on the website. Worth a look if you haven't seen it. I've lifted part of it for this show, but it's worth a look because it goes to some lengths to say how we're going to strengthen. And yesterday's changed his mind on a few players and so on. So we are anticipating a busy summertime, Steve.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, well, hopefully.
We hope.
I mean, the one positive I did take from yesterday is that he didn't fry Bob Barson on.
No.
I'm wondering if he was just looking at it thinking Neville got to be depressed enough at home watching this. I'm not gonna...
I normally set my watch by that when I'm watching a game.
Well, I was surprised he brought Bury on in the end, to be honest. Because one thing I'd say, obviously, you know, no one really does want to see Bob Barson, but
no.
With Bury at the same time, do you really want to throw a kid on in that scenario? Because he barely got a kick.
I mean, it's two arguments. I mean, I'd say the same about Hayden Muller, and he was on the bench. But for him not to start, and I can see how, you know, there's an argument if you're playing experienced championship size, good championship size, like the likes of Bournemouth, Swansea, Watford.
Yeah, to leave him out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want to do a Holloway, Steve, bring kids
the
in.
With it. Bad.
Yeah, I mean, I can get that. But I mean, Coventry, that was the ultimate dead rubber yesterday. And as we saw from the team show, they regarded it as such too. But I don't think Hayden Muller would have regarded that as a dead rubber. And I think it was a strange choice not to have at least given him full 90 minutes or 45 minutes potentially.
Well, yeah, like you said, I was going to say yesterday, I was surprised Evans came out for the second half, to be honest, because I thought he was that bad in the first half.
He did.
I would have been up for seeing Muller for 45 minutes yesterday because it's hard to say, really. We might still have ended up conceding six. But like I say, it's another one. Do you throw a kid into that scenario? But you've got to play him at some point. If you believe they've got something about him, you've got to throw him in there at some point.
I mean, Billy Mitchell and Danny Mack are now both first choice.
Yeah, they're regulars, yeah.
Starters. So they are both good enough. And football management, Steve, is a ruthless business. I mean, I think I said on one of the previous shows, we as a Millwall fan base, I think sometimes fall into the kind of slightly sentimental trap because the football manager has to look at the harsh realities of, are you really good enough? And if you see it or you don't, you know, and who knows with Hayden Muller, whenever I have seen him, and he's only had, 10 minutes or so in the few of the most recent games, he's not looked out of place in the championship. Whether that would stretch over a whole half or the full 90, who knows? But we're not going to know.
No. I mean, I think Bury's getting more minutes than Muller, so you wonder if he's looking at loaning Muller out next year.
Possibly.
Like you spoke about the centre half situation earlier, I'd be looking at Porteous again from Hibs in the summer.
Yeah,
I think he would probably do a job for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lack of depth has really come to the fore in the last six games, probably tell that story. We've just covered that. And I think it's the lack of depth, especially in those key areas. We're playing this 3-5-2 style, which seems to be the way that Gary Rowett sees us playing. Do you like this style, Steve? I mean, how do you...
I'll try and look at it as more of a 3-4-3 because it seems a bit more attacking at least.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Obviously, some games you see how we set up, and it is. I think Brentford away in particular, it is a five. It's set up to just not concede in some games. But Malone and Danny Mack get forward pretty well. So
they
get up and down. I mean, I think that's one thing you can't accuse them of. They've both got an engine on them. But yeah, it's having them. That you need that three at the back to be solid.
You do, and we've. You know, top scorer for the season there will be Jed Wallace, 11 goals, 6 assists. And then Scott Malone and Mason Bennett as joint second with 6 goals apiece. Then Matt Smith with the little that he's seen. You know, it's goal scoring is going to be an issue. I mean, we can talk about strengthening other areas, but at the end of the day, a goal scorer is it worth his weight in gold, quite literally.
I mean, I think another one that I took from what Rowett said afterwards, he said about Williams and Fielding leaving and they've made contract offers to other players.
Yes, yeah.
So Smith is obviously one of those that's out of contract. I mean, I just think keep him for a year, give him another year, because you throw him on in a game, I think you've touched on this in a previous show, like teams don't legislate for the opposition throwing on someone like Matt Smith. They don't.
No.
You don't defend against that in training, so he's worth having just for that alone if we're chasing a game.
Ben Thompson, Steve, is another one that we,
yeah.
You know, I mean, again... I don't know. I mean, is he good enough? I think he is. He brings his Millwall spirit. Whether that's good enough for Gary Rowett, I don't know. He is out of contract in the summertime, I believe. We'll see.
The thing is with Tomo, he's just he does run it, obviously. Right? He's a bit like, he's got a Jimmy Abdo about him in the sense that he will just run around.
Yeah.
But he falls over a lot. We know that, obviously. But I think there might be certain games that where he'd get isolated. He wouldn't be in the game. It'd pass him by a bit, like against the top teams in the league anyway.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's one of the things that we've really all noted, I believe we've all noticed recently, is there is a gap between the top six, the quality of the top sides, and what the rest can produce. And I think we've been a bit exposed in that way. So whether Ben Thompson will be seen as part of next season plans, who knows? It's going to be an interesting summertime. I've dug out a few comments from the internet to run past you, Steve. Richard Harris says, any fan that thinks games don't matter is not a proper Millwall fan for me. I don't expect us to win, but I do expect us to give a shit. I think we can all we can all concur with that. Similar point from Glenn H. Paid money. It cost us a tenner, that, Steve. Tenner to watch that. Oh, mate. Good one from Doug in Sweden, Stockholm. Doug Hume. We found out about the players' character today. Most of them were found severely lacking. And I think that's an interesting point, because I think we'll probably speak for most Millwall fans on this, Steve, but I think, you know, you don't expect to win. You could easily go to Coventry and get beat. There's no, you know, it's not unknown, but it's the manner in which you conduct yourself and the amount of effort that you bring to the party. And that was the bit that really struck me, because if you do it once, well, you'll do it other times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that, like I say, that's the one thing I took from it. It was just a lack of fight, really. I think even when we got it back to 2-1, you could see it didn't fire a rocket up for them to go again.
No.
And then, yeah, just a couple of minutes later, they've gone up the other end and put the game out of sight. So, yeah, like we've already touched on, you want us to give a shit. And there was none of that there yesterday.
It's a minimum ask. There's one here from Hannibal, criticising Gary Rowett as in terms of his style of play. So for me, it's the constant tinkering and the persistence with 3-4-3, which is the formation you said, but with no focal point in attack, and it rarely works. And that comes back to the lack of quality up front, strike quality. I mean, Tom Bradshaw is okay. he's not the only one. I mean, Zahor's gone back to West Brom he came from with his tail between his legs. I don't think that can be deemed any kind of success. I suppose if I was choosing a striker at the moment, then Bradshaw might be my choice, just purely on effort grounds, but not on...
Yeah, that's what I'd go with. I mean, like, obviously he's tried with Zahor and Parrott, which obviously we all seem like we want to forget about. but so he did try over the course of the season to get someone in up front that would score us some goals, and both of them just didn't work.
No.
And then I don't know whether I've noticed Bob Varson's, obviously he's preferred Bradshaw in the last couple of games to Bob Varson's, whether he's finally realised that Bob Varson is shit.
But it, like, must have dawned on him at some point over the course of 46
games. The difference with Bradshaw, obviously, goals return, neither of them are that great. But at least with Bradshaw, I'll take the Bristol City game as an example. He'll run his bollocks off. So it gets to a point where you think he deserves it. Like against Bristol City, he deserved a goal.
Yeah.
You can never say about Bod Varson, oh, he's put himself about today, he probably deserves a goal. He just sort of... He strolls around like the balls. He waits for the ball to come to him. He's not really willing to go and chase it.
He's Iceland's answer to Kenneth Zohor, isn't he? He's got like the arrogance of the greats, you know.
The way he strolls around like Dimitar Berbatov used to. But Berbatov could score a goal. So
I was going to say, minus the talent, mate. It's interesting. I mean, I don't know if modern day football seems to breed this kind of identical arrogant behaviour without... Well, too often without the delivery at the other end of the other end of what you have to do on the field.
It's the lack of effort. If he was prolific, he'd get away with it.
Well, then you put up with the show, don't you?
Yeah.
You know? And one more, Steve Selby says he's happy we finished above Luton. I'm aiming for more than that, Steve. that's not my bar. can we give Coventry Dad Bod, John Daddy, Fergie, he wants to give him Fergie, Tomo, Fielding, he wants to give him half a squad.
Yeah.
And a few quid.
Well, we might beat them 6-1 next week to give him all
for O'Hare. All that for O'Hare. I was as well as a striker or two. I don't, yeah, okay. there's a lot you're asking for there, Steve. We certainly need a creative midfielder, which I think is his fundamental point.
I mean, I think, like I say, like he's obviously he's glad we finished above Luton. Like I say, I think we're all aiming a bit higher than that. But look, I think people forget we went on a run mid-season where we didn't, like, I think, was it 1-15?
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier on.
So, I mean, if you take that into account, it's probably not been a bad season. But then having a run of 1-15 is quite bad. So,
yeah, I mean, from...
You could say it's a good season, but there's a torrid run in the middle of it.
It depends how you look at your life, doesn't it? I mean, it's like an accountant's tot-up as to what's good and bad in this life, yeah. You know, as against the excitement. I mean, we went from October the 31st, Steve, to 15th of December. That's nearly short of 2 months without a win. That was an away win at Bristol. That's where we've had the endless numbers of draws and losses. And I mean, there's been some good spells. I mean, look at just in March this year. I mean, we got beat at Barnsley away, and then we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins mixed in with a couple of defeats. So we're kind of winning more than we're losing in that spell.
Yeah. Cut the draws out as well. I've noticed towards the end, not as many draws anyway. But
yeah, win or lose, you know. So I don't know. It's been a strange campaign. You looking forward to August, Steve? Are you looking forward?
I'm buzzing for it, mate. To be honest, I've even signed up. My 7-year-old daughter's been signed up for a year of punishment as well. I've got her a season ticket.
Good. That's good to hear.
I said yesterday after the game, I think Carl and Max have made it a bit more bearable.
Yeah.
With their commentary. I think otherwise, if you're getting a neutral commentator every week, it would have been even worse. But yeah, I know people that have said no, it's obviously with every subject when you're a Millwall fan, it's divisive.
Yeah, some black and white, isn't it?
Some people just haven't like the whole I follow thing in general. But I think Carl and Max have made it a lot more bearable, to be honest.
Yeah, I've missed going to the Den. I mean, I could probably, you know, I don't know what away travel is going to be like next season. That remains to be seen. It may be that we're back on the I follow for the away games. I don't know. But I don't mind the away games and I follow. I've missed going down the Den. That's part of your life's...
It's the day out thing as well. I think, obviously, I have to travel. It takes me about an hour to get down, but I'll leave early in the morning. I'll get in the pub early.
Yeah.
And then you go and have it. It's the whole day experience. It's like, obviously, we're not like a touristy club where you just go to the ground, watch the game, and then go home.
Come away. No, that's right.
It's the day out, and it's the social element. I think a lot of people will have missed that.
Yeah, it's part of your life's routine, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that's been a big loss. I mean, there has been some good from this season, some good performances on occasions. A lot of hard watches at times, but we have finished mid-table. And we've mentioned it before, Steve, but I mean, I was really amazed when the club rolled forward the season ticket credits for next season.
I mean, I didn't get one for this season, I actually had to pay full whack. But yeah, I mean, I've known, I think one bloke on it, he paid as little as £4.
Yeah, yeah.
Roll
forward the credit. I mean,
yeah.
But the willingness of John Berylson, that's where the money comes from, to stand that loss, because that's what it is. You've got to acknowledge that. And you know, at the end of the day, we're not Real Madrid, we are Millwall, and we go for the reasons that you've just touched on, actually, I think, Steve. We're not really, if you come for the trophies and the glory, you've probably come for the wrong club.
I think the thing is as well, it's more, like I say, if you've had a shit week at work or whatever,
yeah.
It's lovely to go and have a few beers and just go and scream obscenities at people for 90 minutes and get it out of your system.
It's like therapy, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
I can't let the show close without coming back to Sean Williams. There's a tweet of a few of them now, but Richard Corley in a post-match press conference said that Gary Rowett announced that was Sean Williams' last game for Millwall yesterday, along with Frank Fielding, who I think we're less... less focused on.
The best thing he'd done was get injured on his debut, I think. Yeah, I mean,
were you there for that game, Steve?
No, I was on holiday at the time, so right, I missed it. Yeah.
I'm privileged to have seen
the
27 minutes of Frank Fielding's Millwall career. But Sean Williams, I think we've got to, and it's right to say thank you to Sean Williams, one of the best servants, I think, that we've seen.
Yeah, great servant, yeah. I mean, as well, like, obviously, he's been part of the promotion side.
Absolutely.
For the Morrison goal in the playoff final. So things like that, you're not going to forget him for. like I say, just the way he went about his business, just like I say, consummate professional. So
absolutely,
I'm guessing he's leaving because he wants a playing deal somewhere, and we haven't been able to offer that to him. So hopefully he gets himself a deal somewhere for next year.
I really hope so. I think he's still got enough in his playing career to at least get another season. I imagine League One, and
League
Two perhaps. I mean, he signed from the Milton Keynes Dons from Irish football. This was back in 2014 for us. He'd signed for Milton Keynes, I think about 2011 from the League of Ireland club. 295 appearances for the Lions, 22 goals in what is, that's about an eight-year career, including the triumph at Wembley in 2017.
And obviously, you don't really get players hanging around at clubs for that length of time anymore. It's a rarity, so...
No,
and especially the last, especially particularly this season, he hasn't really been involved. But I can imagine he's just where he's been at the club for so long, he's probably handy to have around in the dressing room. So in that sense, it probably will be a loss.
Well, he's trying to develop his coaching role, isn't he?
And I was a bit surprised that he didn't stay in the coaching capacity. But he obviously thinks he can carry on playing somewhere for a little while longer. And football's a short career, so if you can get another year or maybe even two out of it, then why not?
Hugely experienced player, Republic of Ireland international. He'll be an asset to any club. And as I say, I imagine it'd be at the third or fourth tier now that he goes to, but it'd be an asset for that club. And we're going to wish him all the best, I think, Steve. I think that's
absolutely.
On behalf of all Millwall fans. I think that's going to close our show today, Steve. That will end the wake for yesterday's 6-1 Mullering. Summertime beckons, lot of action yet to come over the course of the summertime. But I want to say a big thank you to you, Steve, for joining me on the show. First time. How did you enjoy it?
It's been a pleasure.
Good.
Considering the circumstances. it's like meeting someone at a wake, isn't it? It's nice to meet you.
Like any good funeral, it's always better when it's done and you can go outside and have a laugh. You know, you have to have that moment where the tension is relieved. I've done shows straight afterwards and I'm not sure they work very well because, I mean, you just find yourself getting angry.
Probably would have been better, but probably better to put it off for a bit.
So really appreciate your time, Stephen. We'll do some more next season. Right.
And
thank you, Steve Evans, for joining on the show. And we are trying to put together a midweek show with the chaps, season review. We'll let you know how that goes. Until then, however, dear listeners, thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. And arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?